Off the ball.
GAA.
You pick up the energy, you pick up the, I suppose, the gusto, the drive, and if the vibes aren't right in Dublin, it's going to be really, really obvious.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Balls Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome along to Monday's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson. Coming up today, Alan Quinlan on the doom and gloom surrounding Irish rugby. The Sunday pay-per-view team on a dip in fortunes for the Irish national team. And there's injury updates from both England and France as both are dealt injury blows ahead of the upcoming weekend of fixtures. But first today, after a harrowing couple of days for Irish rugby, beginning with the 36-14 defeat on Thursday night for the senior side against France in Paris, both the Irish 15 team and the under-20s are also well beaten in their encounters over the weekend. On Friday, the 15s team lost 52-14 to England A in the representative fixture at Thomond Park. England ran in 8 tries, with Ireland head coach Andy Farrell watching on after landing back from Paris. A tough 72 hours for Irish rugby was compounded in Perpignan on Saturday as Andrew Brown's under-20s lost 50-21 to defending champions France in their Six Nations opener. They were outclassed at Stade Ami Giral by a home side that also ran in 8 tries. And on Monday morning's Off the Ball breakfast, former Munster and Ireland back row Alan Quinlan said that it shouldn't be all negative regarding Irish rugby at the moment.
I don't think it's all doom and gloom. There's some good players out there, but we can't afford to make mistakes like the Anton Frisch one. How many times have I said about Anton Frisch? He may not have made it, but he's in Toulon now.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't called into a training group with Ireland. You know, it's
we need to be incredibly efficient and clever and forward thinking, and we had a system that was better than everybody else's that suited us for a period of time. Everybody else has caught up and we haven't evolved or changed, and as a result, to your point,
if you're
now
France,
in that second tier with no hope of getting to the top tier at the moment.
I wouldn't say. I think
unless something changes.
Yeah, I think a few players introduced, get some of the injured players back. You get Mac Hansen back in the team, Hugo Keenan, move Jamie Osborne into the centres. There's not a lot of tweaking and changing. The big problem has been out half as well. You know, the chopping and changing there hasn't helped the team, I guess. The thought process around Sam Prendergast with more of a maybe that attacking prowess and better hands and all that stuff, but
it's too early for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think both of them have suffered and they're indecisive, and it's been a big problem, that 10 situation. Plus, you know, the other area is number sevens. We're the number sevens in Ireland. You know, when I played, there was just a barrage of sevens coming through. Now, watching Bryn Ward play in the A team the other night on a team that was getting well beaten, and what he's done this year, I think he's an exceptional talent. And so there is some, you know, bright shoots there. There is some quality there in certain positions. I think we're you know, that midfield scenario of being blessed with Aki, Ringrose, Henshaw for a long period of time.
The Sunday paper review also dealt with the post-mortem from Paris on Thursday night. Sports writer Roy Curtis and Grand Slam winner Fiona Hayes joined Adrian Barry on this weekend's edition. And the trio spoke about where Irish rugby could be going out of the next couple of weeks of Six Nations action.
We were talking off-air about the Dublin football team, and when you lose an aura, how quickly you can fall back into the pack. And the question is, if you leave the World Cup aside, the achievements both from the provinces and the international team over the last 15 years have been like nothing we achieved before. Mm. We're a small nation. We see where Wales are now, a similarly sized nation in which rugby was essentially a religion. Yeah. And they are broken. We're still a long way from that. But it is very hard to accept when you've had an era of continuous success that the reality going forward for years rather than months is probably going to be one where we're no longer at that level.
Jesus, stop the tapes, lads. This is,
I'm going to cry here beside you, right? But just even on that as well, like, you know, when you're looking, like, it might be something good. Are we almost a little bit arrogant ourselves to go into a game, and we obviously have a game plan, and it's, we'll say, that contestable box kick, We go into that game, is there a sense of arrogance that we don't change the game plan, that we think, oh, okay, it is going to kick in, we're good at this, this will happen, whereas maybe it's this game in particular has changed how we need to start thinking. If things aren't working, we're not that good to be able to fix it. We've now got to go to a different place and change things up and just have a bit of variety to the game.
You might call it arrogance and they might call it belief. If we keep doing this thing, it'll come off. But I mean, look at evidence in the face of belief, as in, we were talking outside about, you know, the number of box kicks from the game the other day, and they're just not coming off.
And if you want to hear that podcast back, you can do so now in your OTB daily podcast feed. You can become a member and subscribe at offtheball.com/join. Rugby writers Hugh Farrelly and Brendan Fanning and former Leinster and Ireland back row Kevin McLaughlin joined John Duggan on the Saturday panel. And with Jacques Nienaber's influence at Leinster, especially on the defensive side of the game, is his shadow negatively affecting the Irish team?
There's a massive elephant in the room here, which is Nienaber, since he's come on board. But the Nienaber factor, since he's come into the system, the Leinster, the alignment that we're talking about, hasn't been as smooth between the bulk supplier to the team in terms of defensive systems and all that matching up. So,
but can players adjust easily, or is it, if you're going from one Leinster style of play to an Irish style of play, that might be a bit different, is it?
It's hard. Like, I know when we were playing under Joe Schmidt, the kind of level of rigour and systems he had in place, then going into Irish camp with Declan Kidney, found very, very hard. But it was almost just, we were just shocked at how loose it was comparatively. So I don't think you'd have that big a contrast. But it is something that Andy Farrell has to work really hard on all the time with the coaches. Here's the way we're playing. How are you playing? How can we mar things up? What are the philosophies that align, don't align? Like, that's part of his job, is to make sure that all the provincial coaches, let's remember, the provincial coaches are hired by the IRFU, the head coaches. So they do have quite a bit of influence.
That wasn't a rush defence on Thursday night, sure it wasn't. It was kind of a up fast and then kind of drift or something. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't the Nienaber defence.
No, I think they were trying to apply a rush defence. Like, I think that is the system. I just think it's hard when you're going backwards and you're losing collisions. Yeah. Have a rush defence. I think that it starts at the contact point.
Simon Easterby was making the point that perhaps it was PR in the run-up to the game, that because we have a small system, it makes it easier to get the national players aligned. It's not like a top 14 where you have any number of stuff, of ideas and whatever being thrown into the mix, and it takes you an age to settle on one.
And if you want to listen to that in its entirety, you can do so now in your OTB Rugby podcast feed. On episode 2 of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors podcast, the stories behind the transfers that almost happened but just about didn't. Focuses on one of the greatest of all time, Pelé.
Pelé. Baba, back to Pelé. Now, what's he going to do? He's got the third! Oh, a beautiful goal!
And how the Santos superstar nearly swapped Brazil for Hanover. And how a Nazi ice machine salesman nearly pulled the deal off. Dropping in your OTB football podcast feed this Monday. Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors. England wing Emmanuel Feyuoboso has been ruled out of Saturday's match against Scotland and is in danger of missing the entire Six Nations. The 23-year-old started all four of England's autumn tests, but suffered a hamstring injury in training last week and missed Saturday's 48-7 victory over Wales. Head coach Steve Borthwick is hoping for a positive update when Feyuoboso sees a specialist, But the Exeter player will miss the Calcutta Cup game at Murrayfield, and it appears doubtful he will return in time to feature again in the Six Nations. Sale's Tom Roebuck came into the team for his first match since November and scored England's fifth try against Wales, while recalled Bath wing Henry Arundel bagged a hat-trick in the first half of England's Championship opener. Tommy Freeman, who has scored in seven successive Six Nations games, is another wing option, although he started outside centre on Saturday alongside Northampton teammate Fraser Dingwall. Ollie Lawrence's return to fitness after a knee injury gives Borthwick options in the centres as England seek a first win in Edinburgh since 2020. Fly half Finn Smith is also fit after overcoming a calf injury and takes his place in England's 36-player training squad. Bristol's England A prop George Kloska comes in with Billy Sella in rehabilitation, while Borthwick said that Ellis Genge's withdrawal at half time against Wales was a precautionary measure because of an unspecified niggle. Fullback George Furbank, however, will not be involved as he continues his recovery from a calf problem. Centre Calvin Gorg has been withdrawn from the France squad by Fabien Galthié, who has confirmed a 42-man training group for their Six Nations Round 2 trip to Wales. One of the rising stars of French rugby suffered an ankle injury late in the match against Ireland and was replaced in the squad by Emilien Gailleton. It's a blow for the 20-year-old Toulouse centre, who many view as the future of the French midfield. Gorg required major surgery last year, with doctors replacing an artery in his foot using one taken from his thigh to treat a blood clotting issue that had put him in risk of amputation. There is also a return for Paul Boudant and Thibaut Flamand, who are both back in the squad to prepare for Wales. Galthié has again opted against recalling France record try scorer Damien Penaud and former captain Gregory Aldrett, nor is there any sign of veteran centre Gael Ficou despite the injury to Gorg. All three were surprise omissions from the initial Six Nations squad, many putting the decision down to the famously unpredictable Galthié. Other than that, the selection is largely stable following last week's win over Ireland. And finally today, in the Rugby Europe Championship opening weekend, Germany produced one of the greatest results in their recent history as they defeated Romania in a tight contest. Meanwhile, Portugal, Spain and Georgia had to endure valiant efforts from Belgium, the Netherlands and Switzerland to secure bonus point wins. Spain started the campaign on a high, claiming a 51-33 bonus point win at the Amsterdam National Rugby Centre against the Netherlands. The Spaniards return home to host Switzerland in Palencia next Saturday, while the Netherlands will welcome Georgia at the Amsterdam National Rugby Centre. Engulfed in a spectacular atmosphere at the Mont Charles Tondreau, Belgium and Portugal delivered a competitive contest that ended with the Lobos claiming a 47-17 victory. Portugal will now travel to Germany with 5 points on the board, while Belgium face Romania at the Arcole de Triomphe. The reigning champions Georgia had to double their efforts to leave Yverdon-les-Bains with a bonus point 54-3 victory, as Switzerland produced a strong defensive display. While the Lelos did come away with 8 tries, they were shell-shocked by Switzerland's effort in the opening half, with the hosts allowing the champions just 7 points. Against all the odds, though, Germany emerged victorious over Romania in a 30-24 contest, completing one of the most sensational results in recent men's Rugby Europe Championship history. For the first time in 9 years, Germany defeated Romania, a landmark result that could prove crucial in Mark Kuhlmann's side retaining their men's Rugby Europe Championship status. That's about all we have time for on today's Rugby Daily. I'm David Wilson, and we'll be back with more tomorrow.
To listen to all of our rugby coverage, become a member by signing up at offtheball.com/join now.